I love the Christmas stories from Scripture. I love these stories, but to be honest, in my rational mind, I find these familiar scriptures, these well-loved stories, I find them to be hard to believe in sometimes. The angels with their hearts aflutter and their wings aflutter, the shepherds trembling, the wise men traveling from afar, guided to arrive just at the perfect moment, following only starlight. A young woman believing the impossible was true, and a young man believing, too, the words of that same young woman. These things stretch belief, it's true, but these are not what I find so hard to believe. I could easily believe these stories. It's what the prophet Isaiah says that gets me. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. The zeal of the Lord of Hosts will do this. A day when the world would be ruled by peace, with the tramping boots of war gone forever. A nightmare to be told to children who can't quite picture what you mean. The terrible martial drum cadence of death silenced forever, never to return. Perhaps to be struck from the history books. Justice for all those who cry out for it. Righteousness for those who thirst for it themselves. And what's more, that this state of blessedness would come not because of a great and Herculean striving on the part of humanity, nor even from some terrible, unimaginable, bloodletting war, so awful that humanity would be shocked irrevocably into peace. An entire species hitting rock bottom from their addiction to war. No, rather, Isaiah says that peace shall come to us like a gift, unexpected, like grace, undeserved, and that the zeal of God's love for us is what will make the promises real. At this, my reason balks. My reason balks. The distance is so vast. The distance is so vast between our reality and of God's promised peace served up on a platter for us. The distance is so vast that my reason rebels and looks for any kind of loophole to hand to the Almighty, to explain away what is clearly promised. When I try to imagine in my mind what the fulfillment of these promises would be like, what the world would be like, the images I form in my mind, they have the look and feel of one of those old claymation cartoons they show around this time of year. Familiar? Beloved? Wonderful? Yes. But lacking in that unblinking and unforgiving reality seen in a grainy dash cam video or seen on the evening news. I love the Christmas stories from Scripture. But in my rational mind, I sometimes find it hard to believe in them. Except when I'm singing. Truth be told, I can't explain it, but there is something about singing our stories, singing these stories that just make them come alive in my heart. I can't give an orderly account of what it is about singing them that turns them from vaguely putty-shaped dreams into something that is alive and crisp and beautiful in my mind about singing them. But it's true. When we sing, "Comfort, comfort, O my people," I can feel that coming peace. I can feel it in my heart. "Comfort, comfort, O my people, tell of peace, thus says our God. Comfort those who sit in darkness, mourning under sorrow's load. Speak unto Jerusalem of the peace that waits for them. Tell them that their sins I cover, and their warfare now is over." My rational mind cannot contain God's promises, and so it kicks against what it cannot hold. But when we sing, the heart, which is so much more expansive than the mind in ways, the heart just fills to bursting with what is promised there. They become, these promises, they become embodied. They take root in my body. They become real in our bodies when we sing together. Our chests rise and fall together, our breathing, it comes deeply and all at once, a whole host of God's people filling lungs to the brim so that they might overflow with song. When we sing, we breathe together. We bring together the promises of God into the world, into reality. When we sing, our hopes, they become real because they are real in us. And because they are real in us, they are real in a world that needs them. For a moment, we are gathered into something greater than ourselves, a sound and a music larger than anything that any one of us could produce on our own, a purpose larger than we could accomplish on our own, a truth that is greater and more wonderful than the scope of the mind's comprehension. And it comes to us when we sing, like a gift, unexpected, like grace, undeserved. To sing the hope of Christmas is to birth into being the hope of the Scriptures. To sing the hope of Christmas is to engage in a kind of incarnation in miniature. It is an inbreaking of the holy into the ordinariness of the world. Singing is a gift from God. It accomplishes something nothing else can, because it was made for this purpose. To sing together the songs of Christmas, the songs of hope, this is among the highest and holiest tasks entrusted to people of faith. That of keeping alive in the world that which can only exist when it is sung into being. The world is much in need of people of hope. Not merely people who have hope, but people who live hope, people who are hope, people of hope. Because they bear that hope in their bodies, in song. The world needs people who sing their hope into being because people are forgetting how to sing. And hot on the heels of forgetting how to sing would be forgetting how to hope. Now, it may be hard. It may be hard to believe the words of the prophet Isaiah, that there will be peace everlasting. For who has seen peace over all the world? Who has seen peace? I've seen peace. I've seen it. I've glimpsed it. In you, we were granted a vision of God's peace. In the days immediately following the Marathon bombing, the city needed a healing word. It needed healing that was beyond the bonds of reason, but which would overflow beyond all expectation, beyond all explanation. The hope that was needed had to be sung into being. We Christians, we stood at the corner of Boylston and Arlington, alongside our Jewish and Muslim neighbors, mourning with the same human hearts. We stood at Boylston and Arlington beside the barricades, because that was as close as we could get to the finish line, without crossing into a crime scene. And so we sang into being peace that was needed. Let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let this be my solemn vow to take. Not merely of people who work to make the world a better place, but who can sing of that better world without fear. That at least for a moment, at least for a breath, at least for a chorus or a refrain, that world lives in our hearts. It is true that all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace For the throne of David and his kingdom, he will establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onwards and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. When we sing the songs of Christmas, when we sing of God's promises, it's a taste of what's to come. It's just a taste. But it is so, so sweet. Won't you linger with us? Won't you take a taste? Won't you stay with us and sing a while?